thewellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome to 100 Not Out, featuring your hosts, Dr. Damien Kristoff and Marcus Pierce.
Hello and welcome to 100 Not Out, a weekly show dedicated to helping you master the art of aging well. Marcus Pierce here with you. And as always, boy, oh boy, I'm excited. My brother from another mother. He is a god of longevity and wellness, Dr. Damien Kristoff. How are you, middle-aged god?
I love that, Piercy. I know where you're going with that one, Piercy. It's great to see you, albeit not in the flesh. I wish you were here in Melbourne town. We're turning on the weather on for the last 4 days of summer. It's been unbelievable.
That's amazing. I'll be seeing you at the Athens airport on August 22 as we jet the plane to Ikaria. I cannot wait. But you are a god, and today we have a middle-aged goddess. Jane McCann is our very special guest on today's podcast. Many people will know Jane as an Instagram internet sensation, but there's a lot more to the story than being Insta-famous. We are going to head down to the Mornington Peninsula and chat with the middle-aged goddess herself, Jane McCann. Welcome to 100 Not Out.
Thank you, guys. And yes, Jamo, aren't we lucky? I think we've had 5 days of summer down here in Melbourne. So hooray. Well done, us.
We're winning. It's the place to be. There's no doubt about it. But hey, Jane, welcome. It's so good to have you on our podcast today. And it's also refreshing to see a social media account which brings not only joy but shares the ups and downs in life. You know, most people only see the show reel, the good stuff, but you show the ups and downs, which is great. But your Instagram profile starts with aging is amazing. Most people would disagree. Why do you think aging is amazing?
I've really got that feeling after watching my sister pass away from breast cancer. So she was 57, which is the age I'm at now. And I have also lost my mum and my dad to cancer. Wow. So I have been with, been with many people at the end of their life. And I have realized how valuable it is and what a gift and a privilege it is to get to age. So, I'm not denying, as someone on Insta said to me the other day, you know, aging ain't for sissies. There is definitely, it can definitely be tricky, but what a gift. If you get to do it, what an absolute gift.
Oh, that's awesome. That is a beautiful response. And it is, it's like we often say business is a full contact sport. I think aging is a full contact sport. And born, like you just said, Jane, often out of tragedy, challenge, not out of the good stuff like the grief and all of the snot and the tears that go with that. So with that, is that what was the beginning of the middle-aged goddess? Was it an epiphany type moment that you wanted to obviously pay homage to the premature death of your family members and to make this phase of your life amazing, as you say? Was that tragedy the beginning of what many people now know as a middle-aged goddess?
No, it actually wasn't. I had started my Instagram account when I was teaching yoga, and one day I just got on there and started dancing, and people started liking it and people started following, and so I kept on doing it. And then it sort of morphed into my menopause adventure. As I started going through that, I started talking about that because I was looking for other women who were feeling like I was, and I wanted to know the good news about menopause, and that was really hard to find in those days. It's more available now. Then it sort of morphed into my divorce account. And lo and behold, there are a lot of middle-aged women leaving their partners. So a whole lot more people jumped on board then. And now that I'm postmenopausal and through that sort of period of my life, it is purely now, how do I want to age? How do I want to feel? What can I do to make me feel well as I head into this next phase of my life? Because I'll be 58 soon. I've got more years behind me than ahead. So I want those years. I want to be well. Yeah. And after I've seen what my family have been through, I don't want to do that. So, yeah, now it's embracing, aging and what a gift it is.
Yeah. Well, it is a gift, isn't it? I think every day is a gift. But I think particularly if you've seen loved ones pass on, especially, all of your close loved ones, how horrendous. Yeah. But what a beautiful way to flip it and see it all as a gift. And I think you've got two blokes here, and Min, our producer, who would absolutely agree with that. So good on you. I'm struck, you've got your Instagram profile, you've set it up, and you've got these three or four different segments that the chronicles of your life since you started Instagram. And the whole menopausal thing, I think, let's start back there, is such a, in my sphere, I'm 50, a lot of my wife's girlfriends are all going through this, and this kind of a mixed bag of emotion with it. Some of them are going, this is effing BS. I hate it. And life sucks. Doesn't it suck to be a woman? And other women other girls are going, well, this is just kind of how it is. And, this is what we've got to do. Some see it, very, very differently. Some people see it as kind of like the end of the fun times. And because there doesn't always appear to be an end in mind or an end in sight, how do you suggest women would navigate this from a headspace perspective?
I think get really educated. Find a really great GP who will listen to you and support you. Sometimes it might be HRT. Sometimes it's beginning a meditation practice. There's a whole host of things you can do to support you. Back when I started going through perimenopause, I was around 45 and had no clue what the hell was going on, and went to my GP, who was a doctor. Of course, she was a doctor, who was a woman, and said, this is going on, that's going on, I'm having hot flushes. She's like, well, you're too young, take some antidepressants. So that's what was offered to me, that's a whole other podcast, what happened to me.
That is a whole other podcast. Wow, that's a can of worms right there.
Yeah.
Well, look, basically the medication made me feel like I wanted to end my life, which is a side effect. You can open the pamphlet and there it is.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I navigated that. And, it's been a really amazing time. It has been really challenging as well, and I think a lot of that is because the narrative we're fed is that a woman over 50, you can't have kids anymore, we don't really need you, your vagina dries up, life's over. And it just does not need to be like that, but you need to find support, whether that's your GP or a naturopath or a Chinese doctor. I just threw everything at it. I did a lot of research. I found what works for me.
Yeah.
I said this on Insta the other day, the things that work for me is everything that's free. So it's meditating, it's moving my body, it's really prioritizing sleep, because that was a struggle for me during menopause. And eating really well. So, and going for a walk on the beach, getting in the water in the middle of winter, Damo, down in Victoria, it's bloody cold, but I do it most days because it keeps me feeling good. So it's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in there. And what I love, Jane, is that you're so happy to talk about some of the bigger topics and challenges that are present in middle age, one of them being whether we like it or not, marriage breakdowns for a lot of people. Now, my mum and dad split up when I was 10, and I still to this day say best decision they ever made. And I say that hand on heart, like, because it's not an easy decision for many couples to make. And you've said, and again, in one of your Instagram posts, that a lot of women come to you that are grappling with their long-term marriage and they can't help but feel selfish in their decision-making process. And I don't want to promote myself as a divorce coach because I'm not. However, there have been three occasions in my life where clients have come to me wanting to end their marriage, and let's just say I have helped them with some of the logistics and humanity of that process, because both of those things can feel really hard in the moments of stress. So when you talk about this, because you'd be having a lot more conversations about this, I reckon, how do you approach people that are grappling with this notion of being selfish? Because I am all about being selfish, as in, if you don't look after number one, how can you look after everyone else in your life? What's your approach to this? You've obviously experienced it yourself. What's your approach to this, to do it humanely, beautifully, and to come out the other side triumphant?
I think as a woman in a marriage, and we're talking about hetero marriages here, if you're a woman in a marriage and you've had kids with someone, a lot of the caring and mothering and looking after everybody is done by the woman in the relationship. And, you know, I don't care how equal you say your household is, I really believe that a woman bears most of the brunt of the caring. And I found, and this is from talking to other women on Instagram, that when you go through menopause and your hormones start to change and your kids are a bit older, maybe you're working a bit less, that you sort of finally stick your head up and go, well, hang on a minute, what about me? What do I want? And maybe your kids have left home and you're there with your partner and you're like, you know, do I really want to be with you? And often I have found the answer is no. And my partner and I, we had a really stressful 5 years. And I think he would agree that our relationship really took a back seat during that time. And then when it got to a time where we could reconnect, we just couldn't. We get on very well. We've both worked really hard at that because of our children. It was definitely really, really difficult, but I know for him it has been good, and for me it's been amazing. And, yeah, like you said about your parents, Marcus, you know, my boys I think at first didn't understand, but it was pretty soon after where they were like, yeah, we get it. And, in fact, my youngest son said to me not long ago, how did you and Dad end up together? Because we changed a lot in the relationship, of course, and sometimes you don't change together, and that's okay. Yeah, and I'm in a new relationship now, and it's really lovely and wonderful, and he's great, but it is definitely it still has its challenges as we grow and get to know each other. But yeah, I left the marriage thinking I don't care if I'm never with anyone ever again. And then I met him about 12 months later and took one look at him and went, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, he'll do.
Yeah, bad shoes. He had bad shoes on, but we've worked on that.
I knew that was an important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have real fear that one day Amber's going to wake up and just go, nah, not
for me. Come on, Damo.
I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm going to go and hang out with Jane, you know, so I might have to block your account, I reckon, Jake. But anyway, so no, I'm joking. Amber's not going anywhere, I hope. I'm not. So, well, that's great. You know what I've noticed, Jane? I mean, looking at – I have done the endless scroll through your 2,000 or so posts on your Instagram post and page, and there's a lot of posts there. But what I and listening to you and talking with you, you seem to embrace everything full on, like head on. So you make a decision, bang, off you go. Is that something that you learned, or is that something you've always done? Did your parents teach you that? I think this is an important thing because it appears to me that when you're ready to make change, you make shift happen, you know, it just happens.
Yeah. No, I had to learn it, and I had to learn to receive. So, for example, you know, my best friend, Maz, you know, we would be somewhere and someone would go, oh, my God, it's you, the middle-aged goddess. Here, take this gift, or here, take this voucher, or whatever. And I would go, oh, no, it's okay. And I remember Maz looked at me one day and she said, it's making them feel good, yeah? All you need to do is say thank you, yeah? So I really had to learn to do that. And another favorite motto of mine is nothing changes if nothing changes. And I realized as I was getting older that things definitely needed to change if I wanted to age well. So, you know, something will come along like Vedic meditation. It's a ritual of mine every morning, every afternoon. I tried it. I went, this stuff really works. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's part of my everyday routine. You know, I barely drink. I occasionally will have a gin, or if there's French champagne, I might have one. But I've realized it's not serving me well. So I can pretty much go, yeah, done with that.
Yeah.
But I need the proof. I need to feel it in my body. And once I feel that, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm all good.
With the alcohol, that's a big thing. A lot of people who age well, and in fact, people where we go and visit annually, we go to Sardinia or Ikaria and we go to these blue zones, they drink. And I don't know whether or not it's just they're not drinking gin and they're not having French champagne, because I don't know if the French live a long time, but it tastes good, French champagne. But I tell you, Jean Calment lived a long time, well, both of them did. And what I really find fascinating is that here in Australia in particular, we feel the need that we've got to not drink. And I also don't drink very often either. So, you know, but over there they do, they kind of do it. But there's also some food-based things that they do every single day. And I wondered, what are your food-based things that you do every single day?
I mean, over there too, yeah, they drink, but I don't think they drink to excess. Correct. And there's a whole lot of other ingredients that make it a blue zone, yeah? So it's food, it's community, it's movement, like the people in Okinawa, it's all of those things. And I think here we use alcohol. I know a lot of women that use alcohol that are my age, because it helps them wind down, or they think it will help them sleep. So I think that's part of it. Yeah. Food-wise, you know what? I pretty much eat everything.
Like Macca's and KFC?
Well, no, not that. That's okay. True. No. And right. In fact, one of my boys was saying the other day, he said, you know, you never once ever took us to McDonald's. I was like, didn't we? Because we never went there. Like, he might have gone there with other kids' parents, but we actually never set foot in the place. Their dad's vegetarian, so
right,
you know, yeah. But yeah, I eat really well. My partner loves to eat. I do have a bit of a sweet tooth, so I do try and navigate that. I have a fairly addictive peanut butter habit, which I'm having a week off it. But yeah, you know, fruit, veggies, bit of meat. Yeah.
So you're not a raging vegan, and you're not exclusively carnivore.
No, unbelievable. No. Oh.
Wow, and you're aging well.
How's and you're alive. Possible? You're actually alive.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I am. You know, my mum was, her father owned a butcher shop, in Toorak, which is sort of a well-to-do place here, and all her brothers worked there. So when we grew up, we ate everything. Like, it wasn't just, I can't remember eating steak. We ate everything, and there was kidneys and tripe and liver served up. And what was left, Mum had a hand mincer. She'd mince up and turn into burgers. Yeah. And that's just how we grew up. Yeah. And in fact, when Mum and Dad in the 80s started eating margarine and skim milk, jeez, and all bran, Dad got bowel cancer and Mum got breast cancer. Oh. And if they were alive now and realized how much that wheel has turned, and how we know now that butter's not the enemy, and you know, eating real food is the way to go. So, yeah, bit of everything.
Yeah, that's big.
Nice. Nice.
I've got one more question, Jane. There are a lot of people out there, and I'll be so sexist right now, and I'll say a lot of women out there. I'm not being sexist, but just that's what it's my kids say whenever like I say women or men. Yeah. You're being sexist, Dad. Yeah. So many women live in a world where it's, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not good-looking enough, you're not wealthy enough, you're not this enough, and so many women feel like they are not enough. And it's sad. It's absolutely sad. And again, my ex-journalist feels like the mainstream media is so culpable in this as well, because so much of the media is youth obsessed. We even have a movement called anti-aging, which is capital D for disgusting. Mm. How do you actually, for someone like yourself that I'm just going to put a label on and say has transversed this, come through this adventure glowing, you're quite confident, you seem to have really owned the space that you're in. What, dare I ask, advice would you have for the listeners or the viewers that are going, how do I have what Jane has? Like, I just want some of that. What would you say to people that are really struggling with these feelings of not enough at the phase of life that they're in right now?
Yeah, it's really tricky, that one. I think I'm careful what I watch and consume on social media, because I know that it can still affect me. You know, there is definitely a pro-aging movement out there. I'm in the Melbourne Fashion Festival on Friday. I'm modelling in that on a runway for women over 40 up to 80. So it is definitely shifting. I think still in social media, you know, it's all right to age as long as you're tall and thin, which I'm not. It's that sort of still the acceptable vision that people want to see. For myself, it is just the gift of waking up every morning, and I never utter the words invisible. I never say, gosh, I feel invisible. I talk really well to myself. I treat myself really well. It is all the small things that add up to making you feel better about yourself, just all those little things that I talked about at the start. But yeah, they're definitely, the movement is coming. It will still take a while, I think, for us as women to really absorb it. But it is on its way. And I have to say this, I laughed because I listened to your podcast. I think it was you, Damo, talking about turning 50 and not being invited to the golf weekend. And you saying, oh, it was still the first time in my life I felt discriminated against. And I was like, geez, mate.
It's just a terrible feeling. I know it's a terrible feeling, but you don't realize what it feels like if you haven't had it, you know. So
try being a woman. And
that's why I became a man. Like, and I choose every day. Every day I wake up and choose to be a man. So, yeah.
Good work, you. Good work, you.
So, yeah. Like, I pulled the long straw.
Well, I think there's so much in there, Jane. And I think it's, like you said, this is an ongoing adventure, I think, for women and for men. This is the great thing, is that as a society, and this is why I feel like, you know, I often say we started talking about longevity in 2013 when people thought we were crackpot junkies talking about some weird niche topic, but this is something that we are all working through, working in, ideally supporting each other at any phase of life that we're in. Because as I said to the kids yesterday, we're all getting older and the only symptom of birth is death. So get used to it, kids. Get used to it. This is something we all have to grapple with, that as we get older, we have to, as you say, Jane, make aging amazing. And so all the best to you on the catwalk. All the best to you, inspiring so many people to age gracefully. For all of our viewers and listeners of the podcast, make sure you do yourself a favor. Head on over to Instagram and follow the middle-aged goddess. Make sure you put a D after age. The middle-aged goddess, Jane McCann, inspiring humanity one post at a time. So much to connect with Jane on there. Jane, thank you so much for your wisdom, your insights, your inspiration. And until we speak again, Jane McCann, may the rest of your life continue to be the best of your life.
Thanks, folks. Good to connect with you.
It's been a joy. Damo, thank you for your insights and wisdom as always.
Oh, well done, Marcus. Well done. It's a cracking interview. I really enjoyed that. And it was great to have Jane with us. So good.
Yeah, and we might have to become the middle-aged gods now. Can we do that? Can you have a go?
I don't know about that. Like, there's something about a woman being a goddess. I think that's acceptable, but blokes calling themselves gods? Nah,
my kids are
going to
call you sexist now. My kids are going to say, "Why can't we be gods?"
Yes. Well, we can, but it just doesn't seem right.
No, you're right. I definitely pay homage.
How about
to
legends?
The goddess. Yeah, legends. I'm all good for that. Let us know at 100.notout. What's our Instagram handle going to be instead of 100.notout?
I don't know. Wally's, middle-aged Wally's.
Yes, maybe. For everyone that's been watching and listening, thank you for your support. And until next week, as always, continue to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.